Folks always ask us, how much will I need to retire? And the answer is, it depends. It depends on your needs, lifestyle, and one important factor. Hi, I'm Rob West. That other important piece of the retirement puzzle is, how much are you willing and able to cut from your budget? I'll talk about that first today, and then it's on to your calls and questions on any financial topic at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Okay, I think we can assume that just about everybody will have less income during retirement. So it's really helpful that many of the expenses associated with work, especially work outside the home, go away when you retire. Because of this, many experts say you'll only need 75 to 80% of your working income when you retire. Now, why is that, you ask? Well, because your transportation, clothing, and dining out expenses, mostly for lunch, drop considerably when you're no longer working. That's all good, but the problem is studies show the average retirement budget is only about 60% of working income. So if you're working and making, let's say, $75,000 a year, you'll need at least 75% of that, or a little over $56,000 in retirement. But if you're on track to generate only 60% of your working budget from Social Security benefits and income from your investments, you'll be short $11,250 a year, or about $940 a month. That means you'll have to work longer to build more savings that generate more retirement income, or continue to work part-time to make up that $940 monthly shortfall. Unless you're able to cut your retirement expenses enough to close that $940 gap, or at least make it smaller. Now, how do you do that? Well, let's start with the one that's probably the most obvious. It's the big house you raised your family in, but which is now largely empty because they've all moved on and have their own houses. Do you really need all that room? Probably not. So now's a great time to downsize into something smaller. Besides lowering your maintenance costs, utility bills, and taxes, downsizing should leave you with cash left over that you can convert into an income stream, getting you closer to your retirement needs. As long as you've lived in the home for 2 out of the last 5 years, you can exempt the first $250,000 in capital gains on the sale of your home, or $500,000 for married couples. And if you're worried about having enough room when the grandkids visit, take some of that savings and get bunk beds or air mattresses. They have really nice ones now with built-in air pumps. Now, the next biggest way to cut your retirement budget is with transportation. If neither you or your spouse is working, do you really need 2 vehicles? Probably not, and you can sell one and pocket more cash, plus cutting repair costs, registration fees, and insurance premiums. And if you and your spouse sometimes have to be away from home in 2 different places at the same time, consider using a ride-sharing service and leave the driving to someone else. It might cost you $3 or $4 a mile, but you can afford that occasional expense with all of the money you're saving. Now, let's look at insurance next, and specifically disability and life. First off, disability insurance is designed to replace lost income when you're recovering from an injury, an illness, and not able to work. Obviously, if you're retired and not working, you have no working income to replace, and therefore you have no need for disability insurance. Yet some people still carry it. Drop it the day you retire. Now, what about life insurance in retirement? Well, if your children are now grown up and out of the house, providing for themselves and their families, they're no longer dependent on your income, so you can cut back on life insurance, which, by the way, gets increasingly expensive as we grow older. Also, look at interest on credit card balances and other consumer debt. It's never good, but downright terrible when you're retired and trying to adjust to a smaller income. Take some of that cash you've freed up with the previous suggestions and pay off the credit cards just as soon as you can. Oh, and one final thought, you'll probably have plenty of time in retirement, so consider giving more of it to your church or favorite ministry. Christians shouldn't retire from something, but to something. Folks, this can be one of the most incredible seasons of your life if you lean into it and ask God what He has as you leverage your wisdom and experience for His glory. All right, your calls are next. The number, 800-525-7000. By the way, you can call that 24/7, 800-525-7000. I'm Rob West. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We'll be right back.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. In His infinite wisdom, the Lord has given us insight into our spiritual life just in creation itself. Trees can grow to enormous heights, spreading out their foliage for all kinds of animals to find shelter and sustenance. But if you were to look underground, they become even more impressive. Vast root systems that lock the tree into the ground, impossible to move. I think Paul was getting at something similar when he reminded us in Colossians 2 that we are to be rooted and built up in Christ. Our roots are fed by His Spirit, and He provides the nourishment we need to grow to amazing heights, not for our glory, but for His. Christ is all in all. Spend more time with Jesus. Visit getanchored.com.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
I love this country. But can I tell you something? I love the Lord more than I love this country, and I love the body of Christ more than I love this country. So it is because I love you, frankly, I have to tell the truth. There are many that are more concerned with the consequences in our nation than we are about the cause.
The Hamilton Quarter. Weekday afternoons at 5 Central on American Family Radio.
What if buying groceries, gas, or dining out could help change lives? With Christian Community Credit Union's Cards That Give to Missions, you can help spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children with every purchase at no cost to you. Apply for your card today. More information is available at joinchristiancommunity.com. That's joinchristiancommunity.com. The credit union is an underwriter of this ministry. Membership eligibility required.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Well, as you get your day started, why not make some progress in that financial decision you've been putting off? We'd love to help you. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, and we're taking your calls and questions today. We've got some lines open. Robert Youngblood standing by, ready to take your call. We'll get you on the air. The number, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Before we head to the phones, let me mention some information coming through in the news today. You know, despite fears of inflation, more than two-thirds of middle-aged Americans haven't switched their savings over to higher yielding accounts, despite more than 10 increases in the Fed funds rate, which has driven up savings interest rates. The banking group Santander reports that 70% of our middle agers haven't made the move yet, despite 90% of them saying that inflation is a major concern. The reasons given for this lack of action include, well, first inertia. That is, folks who just don't want to make it happen, getting up off the couch and clicking a few buttons. Also, fear of online banking could be a factor. You know, online banks are where you'll get the very best savings rates these days, nearing 4.5% for FDIC-insured savings. I don't think there's any increased risk there. In terms of the banks themselves, they have the same backing as long as they're FDIC insured or NCUA insured, if that's a credit union. So you don't have to worry about that. And in terms of doing business online, as long as you follow safety protocols, which you would need to do with your brick and mortar bank anyway, if you're accessing your account electronically, that is no use of public Wi-Fi, using perhaps an encryption service, maybe updating your passwords and using a new password periodically, but also a string of at least 12 characters, never clicking on links in emails. I mean, if you're following these best practices, you really are safeguarding yourself to the best of your ability. And you're missing out if you don't make the move on not only the higher yields, as I mentioned, approaching 4.5% on high yield savings, but also they come fee free in most cases. So this might be a great time for you to switch to an online bank for your savings account. Perhaps you keep your existing relationship with your brick and mortar credit union or bank for your primary operating account, that is your checking account, but just link the savings account electronically to it. That way you can move money back and forth, again, fee-free, within 1 to 2 days' notice. So consider that you might be missing out. If you want to find the very best online savings for you, head to bankrate.com. That's where you can search and sort for those online banks offering the best rates and terms. You'll also find Bankrate's rating system. It's a 5-star rating system. Beyond that, I would encourage you to think about banking with somebody who shares your values as well. You know, more and more people are wanting to make sure that the institutions they're working with across the board, and that includes financial services, are values aligned. And Christian Community Credit Union could be a great option there. If you want to check that out, just visit joinchristiancommunity.com. So hopefully that helps you today. All right, let's dive in and take your phone calls. We've got a few lines open, 800-525-7000. Let's begin in Minnesota today. Hi, Ann. Go right ahead.
Hi there. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
So I just have a mortgage question. In the past, we used to pay biweekly payments with our old mortgage company, and now we have the opportunity to do that again. And we already pay an additional principal monthly. And I was wondering, like, how much faster we would pay off our mortgage if we did it biweekly versus monthly. And then I'm just wondering if you have, like, a calculator or some sort of, algorithm or something that I could kind of plug in numbers to see, you know, how much faster we would pay off our mortgage doing it biweekly versus monthly.
Yeah, it's a great question. So here's the thing with the biweekly payment. Essentially, it's just a way to help you smooth out your cash flow. And in the end, you're going to send one extra full payment a year. So essentially, the way that works is if you pay your mortgage biweekly, which just means you send a half a payment every 2 weeks instead of twice a month, then there's 26 two-week periods in the year, which means you're going to send 13 full payments, which is one more than you would send if you just send a monthly payment. But the every 2 weeks often corresponds with how people get paid. So it just kind of smooths it out to not have to save and come up with one extra full payment a year or one half payment every 6 months. You know, if you can just kind of set it up automatic, you may not even miss it. And that's where the biweekly payment is really helpful to folks. But there's nothing magic about the biweekly. You could accomplish the same thing as long as you figure out a way to send one extra full payment a year. You would take a 30-year mortgage and typically reduce it to, you know, 25 or 26 years, depending on the rate and terms. So you don't need to do the biweekly unless that helps you just from a practical standpoint. But the big idea here, Ann, is I love you all sending, you know, extra toward the principal. That's key. And we all should be focused on, regardless of your interest rate, trying to accelerate our debt payoff. Now, not to the expense of, you know, you paying off consumer debt, because obviously if you have high interest debt, that comes first, not at the expense of you having a fully funded emergency fund of 3 to 6 months expenses. That comes first. But if you're on track for retirement, you've got your emergency fund, you're not carrying a lot of high interest consumer debt, then absolutely, if you all have some surplus and you can prioritize paying that off, whether that's sending that extra half payment or full payment a year, just by writing a check or by getting into a biweekly payment plan, that makes a lot of sense. I'm fully supportive of that. One additional thought, and then I'll get your take on all this. As to the calculator, we don't have one necessarily just because there's so many out there. You've got two options there. One, you could Google or use your browser of search engine of choice to find a mortgage principal reduction calculator. And basically, there's hundreds of calculators out there that are free where you could put in your balance, your monthly payment, your interest rate, how much you want to send extra per month. Click the button and it'll tell you exactly, you know, how quickly you'll pay it off. And you can manipulate all of those variables to get exactly what you're looking for. You can also ask your mortgage servicer to do that as well, but you might enjoy doing it with a free calculator just because you'll have more flexibility and you can, you know, do it in just a few seconds. But I've thrown a lot at you there. Give me your thoughts.
Sure. Yes, I agree with all of that. That sounds really great. You said the name of the calculator was Mortgage Principal.
Well, I'm just telling you what to search for. So if you just search for, you know, mortgage calculator, or if you want to add mortgage calculator, you know, principal reduction, you'll ensure that you get a calculator that allows that. Pretty much anyone that you come up with, a mortgage calculator, is going to give you the field that you need to add principal. But if you add those few extra words to the search, you'll ensure that you get one. And just find one that gives you the variables you need. And, you know, it may take you hunting for a few minutes, but you'll find a good number of them that'll give you exactly what you're looking for.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Awesome. Yeah, happy to do it. Now, did I see you had a question here in my notes about escrows?
Oh, so our escrow now has decreased, like the monthly payment of our escrow has decreased. So I just wanted to put that money towards our principal.
Got it.
I figured that would make the most sense.
I think that makes sense. Yeah, you're going to have to work, and I hear you have a sweet little one out there that maybe you need to attend to. But yeah, the key would be whether your mortgage company is going to allow you to pull that out. Sometimes they want you to keep a little extra, and they're going to have ratios for how much they want you to hang on to. But yeah, if they're willing to write you a check back, and that's extra money, putting that toward principal reduction makes a lot of sense. And thanks for your call. God bless you and that little one. We'll be right back.
We're surrounded by a culture where good is called evil and evil is called good. Churches have even started looking and sounding more like the world. So is there any clarity to be found in our world? And do we really know what it means to be called Christian these days? In his article in The Stand, Dr. Ray Rooney gives some background to those questions, then gives some much-needed clarity. If you're looking for help to become a more authentic Christian, you should read A Little Clarity for Christianity at afa.net/thestand.
We are grateful for support from One Ascent Investments on the Faith and Finance program. They manage a comprehensive suite of value-based investment strategies designed to help Christian investors live aligned with what they value most. One Ascent believes that if your values inspire the way you live, they should also inspire the way you invest. This can be a unique form of worship. More information is available at investments.oneascent.com. That web address is investments.oneascent.com.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
We believe true morality flows from biblical principles and directs people to the manner in which God intends them to live.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us as we seek to stop the erosion of godly values.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
Rob West of Faith and Finance.
If you've listened any length of time, you're aware that we often underscore the importance of preparing for the future. Well, as you look into the future, I suggest you consider the AFA Foundation in your estate planning. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience, and she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today on anything financial. We'd love to hear from you as you think about living, giving, owing, and growing. That's really all you can do with God's money, your lifestyle, your generosity, your debt repayment, or your taxes, that which you owe, or that which you're growing for short-term or long-term savings. Here's the reality. The Bible speaks to all of it. There's hundreds and hundreds of verses, but also themes and ideas that we can see on the heart of God as it relates to our money, and our hearts, and how money is morally neutral, but underneath all of that are really our values and priorities that drive our financial decisions. So we want to help you approach God's money and your role as a steward through the lens of Scripture, applying a biblical worldview. If you have a question today on anything financial, give us a call, 800-525-7000. Let's head back to the phones. To Florida we go. Hi, Lisa. Go right ahead.
Yes, I'm calling about, I'm trying to help my little sister with her debt. She is $46,000 in credit card debt. She also has a student loan and lots of bills. So she was considering bankruptcy, and I'm trying to sway her to pay her bills in the way God would have us do. And I'm just struggling for a plan of action.
Yeah.
How to attack this.
Well, Lisa, I love that you're trying to come alongside her in this, and I would concur. Let's try to avoid bankruptcy if at all possible. She may be forced into that, but I'd love to avoid that. I think you're right also in saying she needs a plan of action. You know, often when we find ourselves in situations like this, especially with her having so much that she owes, it just feels like there's no path forward that can work. And apart from that kind of path, we just throw up our hands and begin to think about more drastic solutions like bankruptcy. Is she currently attempting to or able to make the minimum payments on all of these right now, or is she just stopped paying them altogether?
Okay. No, she has been making them, and her payments all add up to $1,165 a month.
Okay, got it. Yeah, so what I would do is direct her to what's called credit counseling. Are you familiar with that term, or have you heard me talk about it?
I have heard you talk about that.
Okay. Yeah, that's going to give her that plan. Typically, the monthly payment on credit counseling is going to be around 2% of the balance, and so it's probably going to be around $920 a month. It could be a little higher. It could go up to that $1,100, but probably not more than she's paying now. The difference is two things are going to happen. Number one is the interest rates are going to be reduced. Now, it depends upon which creditor she has as to what the new interest rates will be. I see here in my notes that you told our producer, I think she's got Chase and BOA and Citi and a few others. And what the credit counseling agency would do is look at each of those creditors and let her know what their credit counseling rate is. There's not a negotiation. They have a stated credit counseling rate. But what I can tell you is it's going to be lower than what she's paying now, which means every dollar she sends, more of it's going to principal. The other thing that changes is it's a level payment. So once we, you know, figure out what that payment's going to be and they help her work it into her budget, then at that point, you know, the level payment means that, you know, as the balances come down, she's snowballing it. A larger and larger percentage is going toward principal reduction, as opposed to if she were just to continue to pay the minimums, as those balances come down, the minimums come down, and, you know, she might just follow that schedule, and that's going to slow down the repayment. So the combination of those lower interest rates plus the level monthly payment through credit counseling is going to help her pay that off on average 80% faster. The other thing is, these are all believers. They're going to help her work up a budget. They'll pray with her. They'll encourage her. And I think perhaps this will give her the path forward that she's been looking for, so she feels like she's actually making some progress. So the place to go is ChristianCreditCounselors.org. There have been our partners in this area for a long, long time. They've worked with hundreds and hundreds of our faith and finance listeners, and I think they would serve her really well. How does that sound?
That sounds great. I really appreciate this. So I can just go online, Christian.
Yes, ma'am.
CreditCounseling.org. Okay.
That's perfect. Exactly right. ChristianCreditCounselors.org, and she can contact them, or you could touch base with them first. They'll schedule up a meeting online over the phone or a video call, and there won't be any cost to that, and they can explain everything and give her the specifics for the actual debt and creditors that she has. Lisa, if we can help further along the way, don't hesitate to reach out, but God bless you, and we appreciate your call today. 800-525-7000. We've got some lines open today. We'd love to hear from you. Let's head to Illinois. A first-time caller, Diane. Go right ahead.
Yes, I'm concerned. I know that you are talking about the high interest rates on online banks and everything, but then I'm also concerned about, because Biden is considering highly the digital currency, and wouldn't that put our accounts that are online right in his scope for saying, oh, you got some money, I'll take it. What is your opinion on the safety of online banks, even though they're insured by FDIC, that's also controlled by the federal government, and
yes,
want to make sure that, you know, our money is safe?
Yeah, no, I appreciate that question, Diane. So I think these are two separate ideas. First of all, I would share your concern about a digital currency, what they call a CBDC, a central bank digital currency. This would be a digital version of a central bank currency like the U.S. dollar, like the euro, like the, you know, any number of currencies out there. And hundreds of countries are pursuing CBDCs right now that total about 90%+ of the worldwide gross domestic product. So this is being looked at literally across the globe, and the U.S. is certainly a part of that. Biden was the one that initiated the research, a multi-agency research project to look at the benefits of having a CBDC. The reality, though, is that he can't do it alone. It's going to take Congress. And Congress is deeply divided over this for good reason. Now, the key is, this doesn't relate to the online banks. You know, if we had a central bank digital currency, it would give the government oversight and insight into our financial transactions in a way that is very alarming. But without that, there's no difference between you having an online bank versus a brick and mortar bank. I've got to take a quick break. We can pick this conversation up on the other side. Stay right there.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Thoughts of the child you were carrying keep pouring over in your mind, and the loss is overwhelming. A deep, unrelenting sadness overshadows your days, and you wonder if you will ever feel whole again. But there is hope and healing from an abortion. Call the International Helpline, 866-482-LIFE, and talk with someone who has been where you are. 866-482-LIFE.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program.
Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
45,000. That's how many times FaithFi referred a listener to a certified Kingdom advisor last year. And for good reason. These are trusted financial, legal, and accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program to ensure biblically wise financial advice as part of their practice. You can find a local CKA professional in your area by going to faithfi.com and clicking on the Find a CKA button on the homepage.
AFA is no longer dependent on Facebook or YouTube to live stream our original programming. As of now, American Family Radio shows like Today's Issues, The Core, Airing the Addisons, and The Hamilton Corner are streaming live on the AFA streaming app. Independent live streaming is the next step as we come out from among them and separate ourselves unto the Lord. Search AFA Streaming or visit streaming.afa.net to sign up.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
I'm so thankful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We've got some lines open, 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Just before the break, we were talking to Diane, a first-time caller in Illinois. She was asking about the prospect of a central bank digital currency and how that may relate to online banking. Diane, what I was saying is I'm as concerned as you probably are about a central bank digital currency, although the good news is the Fed or the executive branch, neither of them can initiate a central bank digital currency. It's very clear that it would have to be a congressional function because they oversee coinage, and Congress is deeply divided over this for good reason, because of the loss of privacy, potentially even social controls if all transaction flowed through the Federal Reserve and the Treasury because of the insight and ability to control those transactions. So that is concerning, but that really is a separate issue from online banking. The money in a brick and mortar bank would be just as susceptible to conversion to a digital currency as money in an online bank. As to the FDIC insurance, you know, we've seen that work. And basically what that means is there's a backstop if a bank goes under because it's been mismanaged, like we saw with Signature Bank and some of the others, Silicon Valley Bank, where essentially the full faith and credit of the United States government is available to come in and make sure that depositors are made whole and they have access to their funds. That's true at a brick and mortar bank or an online bank. So I don't think these two issues go together, online banking versus a CBDC. I think the key is for you to do online banking, which you probably do with your brick and mortar bank anyway. You, even though there's a local branch, you probably, you know, don't always walk in. You might use their smartphone app to make deposits. You might, you know, go on their website to do bill pay. You're doing online banking. The only difference with an online bank only is they're just able to pass along the savings from not having to run those brick and mortar branches to you in the form of higher interest rates. But give me your thoughts on all that.
Well, I guess I do online banking a lot. And so you're right on that. And so I guess we just have to realize, you know, it's in God's hands. And
yeah.
And so thank you. I appreciate your thoughts on that. And Yeah, I'll just have to find one that has some good interest rates in. So thank you.
Yeah, very good. You're welcome. And here's what I would say. You know, there are some best practices that I'll just mention again quickly. You know, make sure you're updating that password regularly. Don't use the same password for everything, because if it's compromised one place, that means it very easily can be compromised another place. You know, make sure that you, I would use a password manager to generate long strings of passwords. Make sure you don't use public Wi-Fi when you're logging into your bank. Never click a link you get in an email. I mean, there are things you can do to really ensure that you're at least putting yourself in a position to avoid your account being compromised. And I think that's really the most important thing. In terms of selecting that online bank, Diane, I would head to Bankrate.com, and they're constantly updating the online banks and letting you know who has the best rates. And they also have a rating service, so you can see out of a five-star system which ones rate the best. So that might help you get pointed in the right direction. But hey, thanks for calling and being on the program today. We appreciate it. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We'd love to hear from you. We've got some lines open today. Again, 800-525-7000. You know, we started today by talking about what you'll need to retire. And speaking of retirement, we've been getting a number of questions lately about tithing in retirement. Now, we are quick to point out here on Faith and Finance that our giving in the New Testament is really not about the Mosaic law of tithing. Many folks still use the tithe as a way to do proportional and systematic giving, and I think that's great. But the New Testament idea of giving, Jesus essentially raised the bar and said we should give cheerful, and we should give freely, and we should give proportionately. To whom much is given, much is required. And it's a privilege. Frankly, those of us who have seen the cross know how much gratitude we have. And so to be able to be connected into God's activity through our giving is one of the great privileges the Lord gives us. So we should be generous givers, and I think that includes a systematic, proportionate gift on the first day of the week. And if a tithe is a way for you to go about that as a beginning point, not an ending point, well, then I think that's fine. My friend Randy Alcorn calls the tithe the training wheels of giving. But if we want to apply the principle of the tithe in retirement, how do we do that? Because it's not as clear as to what our increase is. Because if you have been applying the principle of the tithe and you've been doing that in such a way that you were doing it on the gross, essentially, you've already been tithing on that money. Well, if we apply the New Testament approach that we just give freely and proportionally, we probably don't even think about it. We would just continue to give at whatever level we decide in our hearts, not under compulsion, but between us and the Lord, and continue to give systematically. But if you wanted to really just look at what is your true increase, it does require you to break down your various asset buckets, if you will, in retirement and say, what's actually a return of principal and what's actually the gain? You can do that. You would actually go to Social Security and find out how much you've paid in. That's available on your Social Security report. And you could determine what percent is actually a return within reason, what percent is a return of capital that I've already paid in, and what's gain. You can do that with your retirement account. How much have I put in over the life of this account? And you could establish a percentage to say this percent is actually what I paid in. The remaining percent, which is likely a lot larger, is actually all the gains that I've had. And then you could determine how much is actually a return of principal, how much is a gain, and you could do your giving on that. So there are approaches to that. By the way, we have an article on our website called How to Tithe in Retirement at faithfi.com. If it would be helpful to you and something you'd be interested in, check it out today. All right, let's head back to the phones. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Elizabeth in Oklahoma is a first-time caller. Go ahead.
Hi. My question is, how can I get out of a timeshare contract inexpensively and quickly?
Yeah, unfortunately, if I had the answer to that, Elizabeth, there'd be a lot of folks that'd be really excited, and I really don't. You know, it's extremely difficult to do, and the reason is, you know, there's just so many people that have purchased these timeshares. They were sold these timeshares. They didn't go out looking for them or trying to buy them. They were sold the timeshares, and then as life happens and circumstances change, they've just found they'd like a little more flexibility in their vacationing, or they don't want to continue the maintenance, and so there's just, in terms of supply and demand, there's a lot more supply of people trying to get out of these than there is demand of people trying to buy them. And the companies selling them have no incentive to take them back from you because they want to sell them to new buyers. They don't want to just create a market for existing timeshares. That really doesn't help them because you've already made the purchase. So where do you go from here? Well, a couple of thoughts. One is a website called Tug2.com. That's T-U-G, the number 2.com. Tug is the timeshare users group, and it's a place where not only can you get best practices on buying and selling, but they actually have a forum where you could list a timeshare to see if somebody would want to purchase it. You can see if the company would take it back from you. You would just essentially give it to them as long as it's been paid up, and that way you'd get rid of the, at least you'd get rid of the monthly maintenance or annual maintenance. You can also list it locally and see if somebody would be willing to buy it or give it away. But unfortunately, I think those are the best options. There's really not a foolproof solution here. I wish I had more for you, but that's unfortunately the best I've got. Thanks for your call today. We'll be right back.
Most people believe that everyone in heaven will share the same experience. But the fact is, the kind of heaven we experience in the next life is largely determined by how we live as a Christian in this life. This week on Pathway to Victory, Dr. Robert Jeffress explains what we should be doing right now to prepare for eternity in heaven. Join us this week for Pathway to Victory.
Weekday mornings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
Thanks for listening to AFR. I'm Tim Watson.
Bro, no way that just happened.
Yeah, this radio is old, man.
Wait, you have Roku, don't you?
Yeah, but how's that gonna help us?
Dude, AFR's on Roku now.
Oh, seriously?
Yes, where's your remote? All right, here we go.
We're in the same,
You are a genius.
Oh, yeah.
American Family Radio, available on Apple and Android products, Amazon Alexa, and now available on Roku.
If you enjoy this radio program, you're going to love all of the many different resources waiting for you at faithfi.com. You'll find more powerful wisdom, podcasts, articles, videos, and more from partners like the National Christian Foundation, Sound Mind Investing, and Christian Healthcare Ministries. Connect with the community of thousands of Christians striving to be good and faithful stewards, and check out all of the free biblical financial advice at faithfi.com.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Here in our final segment today, if you have a financial question, we'd love to hear it. 800-525-7000. Well, all eyes on the Federal Reserve today. The Fed is widely expected to deliver another interest rate hike, resuming its campaign to increase the cost of borrowing and subdue inflation after not raising rates, taking a temporary pause in June. Analysts project another 0.25% hike, which would set the Fed funds rate between 5.25% and 5.5%. The Fed is, of course, hoping that they will restrict the economy, and that will help to tame inflation. An increase would mark the highest rate since 2001, interestingly, and this would be the 11th increase in almost 18 months. So really interesting. We'll be continuing to watch that. We certainly expect them to raise rates. That will continue to push not only interest rates higher for borrowing, but should have an effect on your savings rates as well, which is the only silver lining in all of this. And we'll continue to wait for some inflation data this week as well. Jerry Boyer will be by on Friday to weigh in on all of it and give us his analysis. All right, we've got room for one or two more questions here in our final segment, 800-525-7000. You can call right now with whatever you're thinking about financially today, and we'd love to tackle it with you. Hey, let me address something that often can happen in our lives financially, and that is financial disappointment. Plans don't always succeed. I don't have to tell you that. Dreams fail. Expectations go unmet. Disappointment happens maybe more than we want to admit. I mean, maybe it's you make an investment and think you're going to make lots of money and the returns are disappointing. Maybe you expected your business startup to succeed, but a shaky economy killed your plans. Maybe you expected a promotion. Someone else got the job. You expected to have a big nest egg when you retire. We were talking about retirement here on the program just earlier today, but maybe health issues have reduced your savings. Perhaps you expected your adult kids to be financially independent. What so many folks are finding is that we've got some boomerang kids that are ending up in the basement, and that can be costly. And by the way, I think you need to establish a timeline and a plan to move them out on their own. But we can experience these disappointments, and this is not new. We certainly saw this in God's Word. Sarah and Hannah couldn't have children. Joseph, his brothers, sold him into slavery. You can imagine how Jesus must have felt when Judas betrayed him. But the Lord had amazing plans for these unmet expectations. Sarah and Hannah ultimately had children who changed the world. Joseph saved his people, and Jesus, well, he saved us all. So our response to the disappointments in our lives can be a powerful witness to those around you. And maybe this isn't the way you thought your life would turn out, but here's the reality, folks. God can use your unmet expectations for your good and for His glory. So how do we approach financial disappointments from a godly perspective? Well, first, I would say ask God to help you forgive those who've hurt you, if that's what's going on in your situation. Second, well, pray for strength to live through your difficult circumstances. Be willing to let go of your expectations and ask God to show you His plans. You know, people and circumstances are unreliable, but Hebrews 13:8 reminds us that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Lord is always loving, faithful, and just. Folks, let me just remind you, and I'm talking to myself at the same time, God never fails. You can trust Him, even in the midst of your deepest disappointments. When big expectations come to nothing and people let you down, God will make a way for you every time. It might not be what you expected, but it will always be good. So here's maybe my parting thoughts on this. Hold on to what's true. Romans 8:28 says, "We know that in all things God works together for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose." That good is being conformed to the image of Christ. That's not good as in our comfort or financial blessing. It might be, but ultimately that good is being conformed to the image of Christ, which is what we all should desire and ultimately what will last. So I hope that's been an encouragement to you today if you've had some financial disappointments along the way. All right, let's head back to the phones. To Texas we go. Anita, thank you for your call today. How can I help you?
Hi. I like I told your caller, it's a little bit of a complication, and we're just second guessing what we've done, and I can actually get out of it if I need to. But anyway, what happened is my husband and I did all our, estate planning and everything like that. And basically what we did was we've had some issues with our children. So we jumped our children and we did 14 individual trusts for our 14 different grandchildren. So basically what that does is it leaves our children out of the picture. And to kind of fix that, we decided to do a insurance policy, and my husband couldn't qualify for it. So it's just on me. And it's about, $30,000 a year. And we're just wondering if that was really a smart thing to do. You know, we've got longevity on my side. My husband does not. And so we're just thinking maybe if we do, you know, just gifts to them, the you know, the amount of gifts per to our children per year that we can legally give to them without any tax implications, that that would probably be a better investment than waiting for me to die. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. You know, I'm interested in perhaps you all thinking about the assets that God has given you and how you might divide those, you know, through estate planning, whether that's a single trust where you have multiple beneficiaries or separate trusts, and that would ultimately be between you and the estate planning attorney to determine the how. But I don't know that I love the idea of you funding an expensive and increasingly expensive life insurance policy for this inheritance. What about just praying and thinking through how to take the assets God has given you and divide those according to his leading, and take all this money that you'd be putting into a life insurance policy and just continue to build your wealth with that?
Right. Well, we're retired. So we you know, have X amount of money. Our financial planner tells us, you know, knock on wood, it'll never run out. So that's, you know, that's not really an issue, but it's just, we don't want to, the trust that we have, we do have an individual revocable trust right now. And then we have the split trust. If I die or my husband dies, whatever, we have that.
Sure.
And so like, if he dies, it goes to me and the half of it goes to a revocable trust that I can still monitor, you know, same, you know, I mean, you know what it is.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's fine. And that works. I just don't know about the necessarily having that. And it looks like we lost the caller. So what I would just say to you as we wrap up here is I don't know that it makes sense to fund that life insurance policy on your life. I understand your husband couldn't qualify. That's an expensive policy. That's a lot of money every year that could be put toward other things, given away, continued to build your assets and your wealth. And I would prefer that over you having this life insurance policy that's, you know, really pricey. And again, it's not needed and you're purely using it as an inheritance. I would just look at the assets the Lord has given you and just prayerfully decide how he would have you allocate those, whether that's to charity or to heirs, both children and grandchildren. Thanks for your call today. We appreciate it. To Texas. Hi, David. Go right ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call, Rob.
Sure.
I am scheduled to get a lump sum retirement check here in the next couple of weeks, and I was just curious as to maybe what would be the wisest thing to do. It's going to be around $60,000 or so.
Yeah. I would roll that over to an IRA, and then if you don't need the money, or even if you do need to start to draw a little bit off of it, I would invest it. What is your age, David, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm 58.
Okay. So at 58, you know, I would probably think about putting this in maybe 50-50 between bonds and stocks. And at 60,000, rather than using individual stocks and bonds, you'd probably want to use either mutual funds, which is like a basket of stocks and bonds, or ETFs, exchange traded funds, which can either be, you know, based on various market indexes or otherwise. But the idea would be that you'd have some income, you know, coming in off of these investments. The bond portion will do well as interest rates fall next year. And the bond yields that are already elevated, you get to take advantage of that. And stocks will give you a growth component to this. And as you age, you could shift more over to the bond fixed income portion and away from stocks. In terms of, you know, getting somebody to help you with this, unless there was other assets that need to be managed beyond the 60K, David, you're probably beneath what you would need for an investment advisor to take over management of this. But our friends at soundmindinvesting.org could help and give you some mutual fund suggestions. Typically, what you would do is just open an IRA at one of the discount brokerages like Fidelity or Schwab, and then you'd roll that in, which means there's not a taxable event there until you start drawing it out, which you don't have to until you reach at least 75 for required minimums. You wouldn't create a taxable event. And then you could just redeploy it in some investments. How does that sound?
That's good information. I appreciate you.
Good. You're welcome.
So, my ideas.
All right, good deal. Thank you, David. We appreciate it. Again, soundmindinvesting.org is a great place to go. You'd like to learn more about it. Folks, we've gotten a lot of calls lately from folks looking for a mortgage provider, and they want one that shares their values. They just don't know where to turn. Let me mention, for those of you looking for a mortgage right now, either to refinance or a new purchase, a visit with our friends at movementmortgage.com/faith. That's movement.com/faith. Incredible nationwide, God-fearing organization run by some believers, and they're making an incredible difference literally all over the globe through their generosity. Hey, thanks for being along with us today. I couldn't do this without my team. On phones today, Robert Youngblood, our engineer and producer, Devin Patrick, doing his amazing work and providing me with great research today, Mr. Jim Henry. Appreciate you being along with us. Hope you have a great rest of your day, and come back and join us tomorrow. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.